Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 1155 of the Juice Box Podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to the Grand Round series. I hope you're enjoying it. Today's episode is for school nurses. If you know a school nurse who'd like to know more about type 1 diabetes, send this one to them. Nothing you hear on the Juice Box Podcast should be considered advice, medical or otherwise. Always consult a physician before making any changes to your healthcare plan. If you're looking for community around type 1 diabetes, check out the Juice Box Podcast private Facebook group, Juice Box Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes. If you'd like to help with type 1 diabetes research, you can do that right there from your smartphone or your tablet in just 10 minutes. t1dexchange.org/juicebox. They're looking for U.S. residents who have type 1 diabetes or are the caregivers of someone with type 1. You're going to help people living with type 1 diabetes. You may help yourself. You're definitely going to support the podcast in less than 10 minutes. t1dexchange.org/juicebox. Please go fill out that survey. I cannot tell you how much it helps. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth is where I get my clothing, linens, and towels from. They are incredibly comfortable and temperate. I love them. I really do love them. And I love that I can give you an offer code that will save you 40% off of your entire order. Just use the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout and you will save 40% at CozyEarth.com. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by the Eversense CGM. Eversense is going to let you break away from some of the CGM norms you may be accustomed to. No more weekly or bi-weekly hassles of sensor changes. Never again will you be able to accidentally bump your sensor off. You won't have to carry around CGM supplies. And worrying about your adhesive lasting? Well, that's a thing of the past. EversenseCGM.com/juicebox. This show is sponsored today by the glucagon that my daughter carries, Gvoke HypoPen. Find out more at gvokeglucagon.com/juicebox. Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
It's Monday. I'm on my way to the dentist after this. I don't know how good I am, actually.
Oh, fun. Well, hopefully they find nothing. They say you have sparkling teeth.
This is the end of a thing for me. So this is the easy visit after the two where he's like, sorry for the pinch, and then stuck a needle through the palate of my mouth.
Oh, ow,
okay.
Ow.
Sorry for the pinch. What a way to put that, the pinch. Sorry that it feels like someone's running a hot poker through your face. Actually, our dentist is terrific, so I shouldn't say that. He's very good at making injections. Today, we're going to go over the school nurse portion of the Grand Rounds series.
Yay.
And this one is great because we added it late to the list, you and I did. But then through happenstance, I started seeing like a mass flood of school nurses come into the private Facebook group. And it turns out that it just took one person in a different Facebook group for school nurses to say, hey, if you're having trouble with helping kids with type 1, you should go check out Juice Box Podcast. So like a serious influx came in. And I took that opportunity to make a post and say to everybody that's in there, 45,000 people in there, there's going to be a bunch of new school nurses in here, new members that are school nurses. What would you like to tell them? And then, oh my gosh, Jenny, the post ended up reaching 18,000 of my members, which if you don't know how the Facebook algorithm works, that's generous because even though there's 45,000 people in there, it doesn't serve it to everybody all the time. And
that's interesting. Yeah. I know nothing about the like people say, I'm putting a picture in here for the algorithm. I have no idea what that means.
Means the algorithm likes pictures, so it'll show it to more people. And people like pictures, so they click on them. But this post got 170 replies.
Wow.
After being seen by 18,000 of the members.
Nice.
And all I said was there's a large influx of school nurses who have just joined the group. I'd love to see a vibrant conversation aimed at them. What are your best tips? So that's what we're going to go over today.
Great.
Yeah. So this is feedback from the community. These are from real moms and dads. And I have some input because I had a kid go completely through school with type 1 diabetes.
Yes.
I want to start by highlighting the anxiety that I felt. Our daughter was diagnosed when she was 2. She was MDI for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. My first compelling feeling about getting a pump was I don't want another person to stick my daughter with a needle every day.
Oh, interesting.
That was just it. I mean, I don't know why that occurred to me like that, but I was like, I don't want that. So we got Arden an Omnipod, and that took away that one little thing, but, you know, didn't really help anything else. So,
right. It still means somebody else is pushing buttons.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know, like I've always felt when I've gone to the doctor and had to supply the thing to have them download, it's almost like taking a piece of my body and handing it over is kind of how I've felt. And it feels very weird to hand that over. So I can imagine being a caregiver of a child or some, you know, or for somebody else.
Yeah.
The idea of that being touched, right?
I'm glad you brought that up because I had this experience with Arden all the time where I found, like, she uses an Omnipod, right? So It's an insulin pump that's tubeless and the controller for it is therefore not attached to her.
Right.
But it has a physical distance limitation. It won't work if you're a certain distance away from somebody. And right. I used to have to tell her, hey, stay still for a second. Like, stand here while this thing makes a connection. And it wasn't long, but it felt dehumanizing to me a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that because from a tubed perspective, you already have that mental piece of understanding that it's there. Sure, I have to sit here. And a child might even not think about the fact that they need to sit there because the tubing clearly is a visible connection piece.
You could also push a button on a tube pump and hand the pump back to them. And then it does what it's going to do while they're walking away. And before, I don't know, it's something that always stuck with me that there was something not right about, even though it wasn't a demand, it was all done very kindly, but it was like, you have to stand here for a second.
Right.
And that it just made me think of that when you said, even just handing my data over to somebody else feels like I'm giving something away.
It does.
Yeah. So anyway, I would say keep that in mind, you know, when you're dealing with these kids that, you know, and you'll see as you go through the feedback here that there are a lot of opportunities to create moments where they get to feel poorly about things and you're not going to know they're happening, you know?
And I think that in this same kind of line of talk, as a school caregiver, school nurse, that piece of hand the product over to me when, I mean, this is a beginning start of talking to the family. Does the child actually know how to button push? Mm. And all you really need to do is truly watch them push the button and make sure that the figures and the facts that they're putting into it are exactly what they need to be, then great. Don't touch the product. There's no reason.
Your anxiety, if they're going to do it wrong, give it to me. That makes a person feel like, oh, you lose your autonomy.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Yes. And I'm sure there are kids who aren't old enough or don't know how to do it or anything like that. Correct. That's one thing, but
that it's needed.
You make a good point. I'm going to start here with this. This person just says, I absolutely love our school nurse. She and the two ladies that help her have become like mom number two to my son.
Oh.
You know, and the other diabetic kiddos at the school. I couldn't ask for better support system, and I have them. They're willing to learn more and willing to help my child. I don't even think they realize how hard it is for me to give up control, but I completely trust them. Now, that's great. And many of you might be doing that already. But as we get through other feedback, you're going to see that that's not everybody's experience.
Correct.
And I'm always the first one to say, like, school nurses are no different than other healthcare professionals. You don't know who you're getting until you get them. And, you know, my problem always is that if you get somebody who's combative or egotistical or whatever might happen there and you get into this battle with them, you could just think this is normal and just take it. And that's, you know, upsetting too.
You know, and as you bring that in, I think I've seen that more in working with families. I've seen that attitude, if you will, happen a lot more with nurses who have, and again, this is not all of them, but nurses who've been around for a while and have had experience with type 1 diabetes or have an idea in their head about it and how it should be managed, but it's very aged information. Mm-hmm. It's the old 15 and 15 rule, right? For treating lows. It gets stuck there, and no matter what is told to them, that's what they're going to do. And this is where those plans that you come into school with to care for a child who has some type of medical special need like diabetes, those become really important and can be more of a teaching tool then to say, hey, I see that you did know what you were doing, but that was years ago. Yeah. And we have to update this, or each child with diabetes is an individual.
Not the same for every person or correct. Even every food. And people bring this up in their feedback. Two main messages through all these 170 comments are, please don't talk down to us. What I'm hearing is that's how people, these are their experiences, and work with mm-hmm. us. You know, like, yes. And that struck me too. Is like, how did it become adversarial so quickly? I just want my kid to be healthy and in class and not missing time. And I'm assuming you want that as well.
Right.
How is it possible we're arguing? You know, like we're literally on the same team. This person just says, please don't talk down to parents about how they manage. This journey has been evolving over time for us. It was quite emotional in the beginning. I didn't appreciate the discussions about checking everything through the doctor.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the school nurse, anytime the mom said, hey, could we change this or give her a little more, a little less? Well, we'll have to call the doctor. I'm assuming from the school nurse side, that's something they have to do. But you got to see what it feels like here. Like, I know what I'm talking about. Give them another half a unit. I've lived through this 50 times.
Right.
Like, oh no, we're going to call the doctor. Well, while you're calling the doctor, which is not going to get a response today, and maybe not this week.
Right.
Now my kid's blood sugar is going to be high all week long because,
right.
You know, what's the point? Like, at some point you got to be an ally in this. If you take insulin or sulfonylureas, you are at risk for your blood sugar going too low. You need a safety net when it matters most. Be ready with Gvoke HypoPen. My daughter carries Gvoke HypoPen everywhere she goes because it's a ready-to-use rescue pen for treating very low blood sugar in people with diabetes ages 2 and above that I trust. Low blood sugar emergencies can happen unexpectedly, and they demand quick action. Luckily, Gvoke HypoPen can be administered in 2 simple steps, even by yourself in certain situations. Show those around you where you store Gvoke HypoPen and how to use it. They need to know how to use Gvoke HypoPen before an emergency situation happens. Learn more about why Gvoke HypoPen is in Arden's Diabetes Toolkit at gvokeglucagon.com/juicebox. Gvoke shouldn't be used if you have a tumor in the gland on the top of your kidneys called a pheochromocytoma, or if you have a tumor in your pancreas called an insulinoma. Visit gvokeglucagon.com/risk for safety information. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by Cozy Earth, and right now I'm looking at cozyearth.com to see what's going on. I got, look at this, bamboo pajama set for ladies, the jogger pants for ladies, looks like plush lounge socks, that's one of Oprah's favorite things. There's the bath collection. We love the waffle towels, but there's also premium plush bath towels. Everything that you see here can be had for 40% off with the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout. Even the sheets. Now, we use the bamboo sheets. You may choose different linens. I don't know what you're going to love when you get to CozyEarth.com, but we sleep on bamboo sheets from Cozy Earth. They are incredibly comfortable, and I bought them myself with my own money, using my own offer code, JUICEBOX, at checkout. 40% off is what I saved. You can as well at CozyEarth.com. Today's podcast is sponsored by the Eversense CGM. Boasting a 6-month sensor, the Eversense CGM offers you these key advantages. Distinct on-body vibe alerts when high or low. A consistent and exceptional accuracy over a 6-month period. And you only need 2 sensors per year. No longer will you have to carry your CGM supplies with you. You won't have to be concerned about your adhesive not lasting, accidentally knocking off a sensor, or wasting a sensor when you have to replace your transmitter. That's right, there's no more weekly or bi-weekly hassles of sensor changes, not with the Eversense CGM. It's implantable, and it's accurate. Eversense CGM.com/juicebox. The Eversense CGM is the first and only long-term CGM. Eversense sits comfortably right under the skin in your upper arm, and it lasts way longer than any other CGM sensor. Never again will you have to worry about your sensor falling off before the end of its life. So if you want an incredibly accurate CGM that can't get knocked off and won't fall off, you're looking for the Eversense CGM. EversenseCGM.com/juicebox. You know.
And I think another piece that adds into this, especially more recently, is that a good majority of people are using some type of an algorithm-driven pump.
Yeah.
And that brings in some adjustment to what the parents have learned how to navigate, because they're with it 24/7, right? Every minute of every day, and they're looking at data and they're analyzing it for adjustments and what to do and what works. And while school nurses have kids every day of the school week, their interactions with them are very momentary. They're right. They're not all the time. And so again, what they might have learned about something like treating a lower blood sugar, there's a difference now with algorithms in how you treat and how quickly and what amount you use. And the same for highs. Maybe the pump is suggesting this amount, but you know a little bit better because of your experience. Those are things that, again, they technically have to be written down as a guiding post for the nurse to use, but they may shift and change through the course of the year, especially because kids grow.
And even if they're not using an algorithm, they might be acting as one, not even knowing it. Like, oh, you know,
correct.
After this meal, we always do a temp basal increase, or, you know, like little adjustments to insulin, which in the end is what an algorithm is doing, making like unseen adjustments. But these people might already know, like, oh, I know that with popcorn and this drink, she needs, you know, X, Y, Z insulin.
Right.
That's not going to be reflected in the orders that the doctor put together that said, like, you know, for every 10 carbs, it's a unit of insulin.
Right.
Yeah. Except for when she eats like this, or except after lunch, or after gym or something like that. Like, they might have,
right.
I mean, might. They're definitely going to know something about this you don't know. And then the touch point here is that you've put yourself in a position where if you're not being flexible as the school nurse, you are now in the power position. You're holding these people hostage, right? They're trying to do something with their health. You're saying no. You're not a doctor. You're not even their doctor. They don't know you. Like, you know what I mean? Right. You're the person at the school who's a school nurse. Like, that's a lovely job, and everyone's thrilled you're there, and thank God you're there, because there's plenty of schools that don't even have nurses. But you can't become the border guard and say, no, you're not allowed to do that. Like, I do this 24 hours a day when I'm not with you. Like, why are you the end all be all on this? I think that that's just important to hear if you're the school nurse. Like, oh, is that how that could feel on the other side? I'm just trying to do the right thing. I'm following the orders here.
Right. You know? And I think too, because there's a lot to navigate in a school environment, right? There's a lot, as you mentioned it before, that we don't really want kids to be consistently pulled from class. Mm-hmm. It decreases what they're there for, which is learning, right? And especially if that pull is always at the time of a class that's already kind of harder for the student, or that they might be falling behind in because they're constantly being pulled from that class. So I think, you know, in using a lot of these tricks that as the parent or the caregiver you've learned, you also have to think about it from the angle of the nurse as well, and the angle of your child, in that we want to simplify as much as possible so that, you know, little Lucy doesn't always have to go back and forth to the office four times a day to figure out what is typical coverage for this type of a meal. Yeah. Maybe you don't feed that meal at school then, right? Maybe they're reserved for the weekends when you have the navigation tool, and you make the weekday a little bit more simplified. I mean, there are ways to work it on both angles. I think school nurses, they try to do as well as they can. And some school nurses don't even have coverage of just one school. They're not there all day. They might be navigating between five schools.
Yeah. I've never met an ill-intended school nurse.
Right.
But I have dealt with some of them that were problematic for our life.
Yeah. Oh, I'm I'm quite sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so I know I've said this on the podcast and other places, but it very much fits here. In second grade, my daughter had a standard time. She'd go to the school nurse to have her blood sugar checked. There were no CGMs at that point. And she went every day at this certain time. And then she'd come back. She was only gone for a couple of minutes, 10 minutes. She was back and we were on our way again. But she was falling behind significantly at math, at like mm-hmm. really, really badly. And we didn't know why. And it wasn't until the following year, because her teacher carried over with her class. She took on the same class in third grade as she had in second grade. And over the summer, she literally called me and said, "I know why Arden is struggling with math." And I was like, "Why is that?" She goes, "Well, I was just sitting down and filling out my lesson plans and getting my book ready for next year. We are sending her to the nurse right like 2 minutes before the math portion of the day. And she's missing the explanation every day, like every day. But she comes back and she puts her head down and she tries to figure it out. She doesn't she doesn't say anything."
Sure.
But in a year and a half, like we were literally, I've joked about this before. We thought like, "Oh, maybe she's a little dumb." Like she was really, she's really, God, right? But she was really struggling in math.
Right.
And, you know, it took a couple of years to like get her caught back up again. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was that for years and years after that, Arden believed she was not good at math.
Oh.
But she is. You know, and has taken a number, like now that she's in college, has taken a number of advanced like mathematics, stuff that I look at and I go, "I don't understand why numbers and letters are on the same piece of paper." And you're like, "What's that shape?" But she gets that now, but lived a long portion of her young life thinking,
"I'm just not good at this.
I'm not good at this." Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's just from that one decision. Let's send her every day at 9:45 a.m.
Right. And it was a decision that was...
We had to do it.
You had to do it, right? And it circulated around one piece of her life, which was diabetes. It circulated around, one, we don't have a CGM. This is the time that we need to have a blood sugar or some visibility to what's happening. Probably mm-hmm. it was coming into snack, or maybe it was just before lunch or whatever was happening.
Exactly.
But you have to kind of mold all of these things together to make it work for the child.
Yeah. If you go through this list of people, "Please let my kids stay in class. Do everything you can to let them stay in the classroom." One person says, "If you have the ability to, go do what you need to do in the classroom. Like, don't even make them come to your office."
Right.
You know, also, you know, there are a lot of sick people in the nurse's office, right? And I'm not looking to get sick. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want the cold that's going around the building.
Right.
Like, don't bring me into the small room with all the sick people if you don't.
Right, where everybody is vomiting all over
the place. Please. There's some kids, they drink a juice. They're like, "All right, I'm good." And they're like, "No, you got to sit here." Now you're sitting there for 15 or 20 minutes. And, you know,
right.
Also, psychologically, I'm always with sick people, right? Like, the kid you intersect in the nurse's office on Monday is not the same kid you see on Thursday.
Correct.
All your brain sees is that I'm always with sick people.
Right.
And am I sick? You know what I mean?
Right. There's making a connection for the child of, "I have diabetes. It must be an illness.
I'm an illness.
Yeah, I'm sick." And, you know, unfortunately, that kind of crosses over into a lot of then, you know, what they might hear in the doctor's office about being safe and being careful and, you know, you're more prone to getting ill. And like, kids hear an awful lot, even though they may not verbalize or mm-hmm. question what they're hearing, but eventually it kind of starts to sink in. So that's a very good point to make, honestly.
When Arden got into high school, we were at the meeting in the summertime and the nurse is like, "Your daughter and I, we're going to be best friends." And I was like, listen, it's like, I don't want my daughter in your office at all if we can help it.
Right.
Yeah. Don't be friendly. I mean, you could be friendly with her, but like, don't keep her there. You know what I mean? This isn't a club. She's like, "Oh, the kids hang out." I'm like, no, they're at school.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. I don't want her hanging out with you.
This is not the sick kid club. No thank you.
What the hell? But right. She meant it so positively.
Sure.
You know, and upbeat. And then there's a pushback. And then we had to explain, you know, listen, in the summer before Arden went to kindergarten, I went to the elementary school that was local to me where my son had already gone. So I was a person who they at least knew. I went into mm-hmm. the office and I said, "Hey, I'd like to set up the groundwork, you know, for my daughter being here with diabetes." And they said, your daughter's not here. I said, no, she'll be here next year. And they laughed, like literally stood in the office and laughed at me. I was like, no, I really think this is something we should be ahead of.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, like we're going to get your 504 plan set up. It's going to be fine, right? I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know anything about it, Jenny. I was like, my kid had only had diabetes for a couple of years. I'd never sent a kid with diabetes through school. And they said, we're going to have a 504 meeting. And I was like, great. So they bring me in a couple of weeks before school starts. If they sit down, they give me a piece of paper. I'm not lying to you. Had 5 bullet points on it.
I'm sure.
And it was the most basic stuff. And they were like, this is the plan we're going to follow. And I looked at it and then I got to laugh at them.
And you were like, ha, no.
I said, if this is all you know about diabetes, my kid's going to be dead in a month. I was like, this isn't going to do it. She's 5. She weighs not very much. Her blood sugar bounces around a lot. CGMs weren't a thing yet. This is
right.
You just ain't going to work, you know? So I went home and I read, I think, 3 different 504 plans that were available online. I think I got one from the ADA. I got one from JDRF. I got one from somewhere else. I read over them and then I cherry picked from them the things that I thought impacted her. Mm-hmm. And I built a 504 plan. I brought it back and I was like, this is the 504 plan. And they laughed at me. They're like, we're not doing all this. And I was like, oh, no, you are. And then we got into it.
Right.
I did not win that fight. And about whenever the spring was, you know, so a few months later, they had a system. Like we had Arden come down at certain times. I was able to get that done. Check her blood sugar at this time. Bring her back before recess. Check her blood sugar before she goes outside for recess. Check her blood sugar before lunch. Give her insulin. Mm-hmm. Check her blood sugar 2 hours after lunch. I think that's about how I had it set up. So one day, this little boy comes into the nurse's office with a breathing problem. And they had to give him a breathing treatment. And there was a lot of, it was unexpected.
Sure.
And, a lot of running around, I guess, in the office a little bit. But it happened right before Arden's recess. So they just forgot Arden. They were supposed to call down to have her come up. They didn't do the call. She's 5. She just was like,
it's recess time.
Rolls right out on the, rolls right out on the playground. Now, Scotty had a backup plan. Okay. So all the stuff that was set up, I had an alarm on my phone. So I know I'm supposed to hear from them at this time. I give a little bit of
leeway.
Mm-hmm. But a couple minutes later, I'm like, I call the nurse's office. I said, hey, you didn't call me about Arden. The nurse goes, Arden, and then hangs up the phone. I was like, okay. So like 10 minutes.
As you get in your car and you're driving to the school.
I sat next to the phone going, oh my God, like just my heart in my throat.
Aww.
And I get a call back, obviously about 10 minutes later. Hey, it's us. Arden's fine. And I'm like, oh yeah. She goes, and she tells me all about the kid with the breathing treatment. I'm like, fantastic. I said, where, how's Arden doing? Well, she was low and then goes on to tell me how she's on the top of one of those turtle, jungle gym things crawling around. And they tested her blood sugar and it was like 52.
Oh.
So I took that opportunity to say, look, that stuff I brought you in the 504 plan that you laughed at me about.
This is why it's there.
Pretty important. Yeah. And we used that opportunity to move forward. But it was a growing experience for them because they finally were like, oh, that guy's not crazy. The thing he said was going to go wrong actually went wrong. You know, and that was the beginning of the relationship. Then those two nurses and I all through elementary school, we were like thick as thieves because they trusted me then.
Right.
Like I was a soothsayer. I predicted the future.
Right.
But we had such a great process. And then I'll tell you that what we did then is when Arden went to middle school after that, I brought those nurses with me to meet the nurses from the middle school for the first time.
Well, that's a great idea.
Because they sat there and they're like, whatever that guy says, just do it. And that built that. I had built in confidence then with the new nurse.
Sure.
And then we did it again at high school. I brought the middle school nurse to the high school. When the high school nurse started pushing back, the middle school nurse was like, listen, I have never seen a kid with as stable or steady blood sugars as this kid. Like, listen to what he's saying, but mm-hmm. It was a lot of work, Jenny. A ton.
It's an enormous amount of work. And then when you've got schools that really do give a lot of pushback, no matter what information and what data you provide to prove what you're trying to have written into their plan of care. I mean, that is a lot of the reason that, I actually encourage people that you sit down with your endo and go through that and even get their signature on it. Because as you said early on, many times they're going to say, well, we have to call the doctor about that. Well, if the doctor's signature is at the bottom of that plan, you're more likely to decrease the need to call the doctor because clearly everything on this plan was already okayed by the doctor.
Mm-hmm. I have or had when Arden was in school, I don't know the sentence exactly, but there was a sentence in the 504 plan that said, you know, these are all the rules, but decisions about food, dosing, all that stuff are adjustable by the parents.
Yes.
That was it. You know,
another similar line that, again, something it's usual written on a lot of people's is parents have final say or final decision in dosing, meal, snacks, low treatments, all of that kind of stuff. This is the plan, but, you know, if questions, call the parent. The parent has the final say.
Yeah, it protects the nurse, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think, allows the nurse to feel a little comfortable because, I mean, I can put myself in their position. The doctor's orders say, you know, 3 units for this. And I'm like, no, do 4. And they're like, whoa, I'm going to put an extra unit of insulin in this kid, send him back to class so they can pass out.
Right.
And then I did it. No, you know, like, so it's a big deal to get that into your 504 if you can.
Right.
This person says, please be careful about how you talk to children. They are sensitive. Mm-hmm. They know a lot. Don't comment on their numbers or the carbs on their plate. Don't scare them about high and low blood sugars. Be patient with them because their blood sugars can affect their moods. This lady also says, please don't ask me to do more than I'm already doing. Like, I have enough on my plate too. I'm doing the best I can. I think that's a big deal there. Like, don't scare the kids. Don't try to,
it is,
you know, I don't know, take what you think you know and pass it on to them in a split second, in a passing moment when their blood sugars are all over the place.
Correct. And I think from that judgment standpoint, I know this person said something about, you know, don't judge on the carb kind of thing. Don't judge on the food in general, right? That's not your job as a school nurse, quite honestly. There's probably somebody else in the background who's already assisting the family to navigate proper nutrition and intake and everything that might be needed. And you know what? Maybe the kid has a lot of really considerable food preferences. Right? Maybe they only eat 3 different things at lunch and that's what has to be sent. And maybe it is 80 grams of carbohydrate. And as a school nurse, you're like, well, their blood sugar will look better if they didn't eat so much carbohydrate. That's not your business. It's just not.
Yeah, their blood sugar would look better if their pancreas was working right. But
yeah,
it's a lot of ifs in there. The no shame thing comes up over and over again with the feedback from people like, please don't shame my kid. It's all hard enough already. Open communication, big deal. You know, like, let's go back and forth, be on the same team. Why are we fighting with each other? Like, that one's fascinating. You know why, right? Like, the nurse is protecting their professional life and, you know, and you're trying to protect your kid's health. And, you know, then in the middle are these orders that are probably not going to work most of the time. So, you know, it sucks. Could you help us with our 504 plan? So that, yeah, I'm throwing that in there for school nurses. Like, people don't know what the hell a 504 plan is when their kids are diagnosed usually. It'd be helpful for them if you could walk them through it, tell them how the process works through the school, that kind of stuff.
And if you've worked with somebody who has a system that's working really well with type 1 and you have their 504, obviously getting rid of all the personal information that might be in it, but maybe have those as a good example for families who are new that you're working with and are questioning, I don't even know where to start with a 504 plan. Mm. Or maybe you have a list of sites of available examples to be able to provide them with. And then they can pick and choose because, again, all of these 504 plans being very individualized, you're very likely to find one that is almost similar enough to what you're doing with your child. And you can start it as a template that it works better than somebody else's 504 plan that's like, you know, not eating very much or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and make little adjustments to it till it fits you. And I also, I like to say too, don't be unreasonable in it. Because when you start being like, hey, you know what my kid really needs? A Ferris wheel. You start making big asks. They're like, oh, you're trying to take advantage of this.
Right.
And then you don't get taken as seriously because you look like you're grabbing. You know, like,
correct.
I think that's important. I like to remind people that usually as the kids grow, there's something on your 504 plan that was super important in second grade that doesn't matter in fourth grade anymore. And if you want to be a real hero at your 504 meeting, say, oh, you know, like line three there, we can strike that. You guys don't need to do that anymore. Like, it feels like you're giving something back to them. You know, like there's one less thing for them to worry about. So, you know, I think that's a good idea too.
Especially as things like recess and whatnot change. I mean, my little guy has 2 to 3 recess sessions a day. And my not so little older child has only 2 recesses. Once he gets to middle school, he'll only have 1 recess a day. So all those things are, as you said, they're points of navigation from one year to the next that may change based on schedule and what's going on for that child. And there might be some new things. There might be several things that are able to be taken out.
Yeah. Two opportunities in that example to not rip a kid out of a classroom, for example, you know, that kind of stuff. This person says, our school nurse is terrific. I have nothing bad to say, but here's why she's terrific. She'll like discreetly pop into my son's classroom, check on him for a second, make sure everything's all right, slip back out again, instead of him leaving class and missing that class time. But she goes on and on. But I think what she's really saying here is she has a school nurse who's putting that kid in the same, holding that kid's health at the same level as the mom does.
Yes.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's that extra effort that you have to put in when you know, you have a kid with type 1.
And in today's world with the technology that we have, it's lovely that the school nurse is even just popping a head in to just visibly see that the child looks like they're okay. Mm. But I've got a lot of families whose school nurses are absolutely able and willing to do like Dexcom has Dexcom Follow, or they might be using something like SugarMate in which they can look and follow online. They can even make notes about what was used for a treatment or whatnot, which translates right over into the parents. So it's almost a seamless communication, and there's a lot less texting and stuff that kind of can happen. There are kids, teachers and classrooms and even nursing stations that have things like, was it Sugar Pixel and the Glucose? Just visit, they might have the name on, you know, so they know which one they're looking at.
Right.
And again, that means that the nurse doesn't necessarily have to get up out of her office. She's just visibly able to see where are things going, what's this next child's schedule look like? You know, from that standpoint, it can be useful tools.
Technology was brought up over and over again from people, especially because a lot of people do get into that situation where I'm seeing it shift more over the last couple of years. But in the beginning with CGM, so for people who are listening who don't know, a continuous glucose monitor, a device that the kid's wearing that's reporting back their blood sugar in real time that you can see on a number of different devices, right? Like phones, Android, Apple phones, iPads, stuff like that. There was a time where they would say, well, we don't want that data because then it's a liability, because now I know if the kid's low and if I don't react well, or I don't see it for some reason, or my phone's not near me, now it's my fault if the kid has a low blood sugar. To me, that was a really strange way to think about it, but
it is.
That was the initial pushback from school nurses. Like, I'm not at fault if I don't know, so don't tell me. Some nurses were like, yeah, give me the information. I want that. And more, I am seeing nurses following kids on CGMs in schools. Just to watch a kid's blood sugar for a day or two, it would take so much of your anxiety away. You know what I mean?
Right.
You'd see what's happening. You can make adjustments, or in concert with the parents, make adjustments and not have all the worries that you had before. So embrace the technology for sure.
Right. Learn a little bit about it. I mean, that might be an additional session that you end up spending with the parents to learn from them. What is the technology doing? Especially if, again, like I mentioned before, they are using an algorithm type of pumping system. Learn what's the system really doing? How does it act? Because all of them are a little bit different, right? And so it's really important to understand what one child's system might do that another one's not necessarily going to do the same way.
Yeah. I have some stuff here from actual school nurses. It says, I am a school nurse, but I'm also a type 1 parent. It's extremely hard to follow doctor's orders when you know that that's not the right thing to do for the student. Luckily, I am the school nurse for my son, so I can do what I want, but it's very frustrating when having to follow the typical standard orders that don't fit for everyone with other students.
Yeah.
And that's something to really remember, is that you might have a great school nurse who is right there with you. I don't know why they wouldn't say that though. Like why not just like whisper, go, hey, listen, you know, I'm stuck here. Let's fix the order so I can give me a little more autonomy here to help you.
Right.
Another school nurse. I'm a school nurse and also a mom of a type 1. School nurses with diabetics just have to understand that each student's diabetes needs are different. Just like students' educational needs are different in the classroom. As a parent with type to a type 1, what I didn't understand until working as a nurse in a school is that you are held to the doctor's orders. Yes, the parents know how to manage. They know how to manage better. They know how to help keep the numbers in check. But I've got to do what the doctor puts on that piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's really, it goes all back. It's that one sentence on the 504.
Yeah.
Would you say you put it eloquently and succinctly?
Yeah, it's just parents have final say in dosing, snacks, treatments, et cetera. Whatever you want to include in that statement is that follow the orders, but parents have final say.
This parent says, I would just love to know what the nurse needs from me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to help you help my kid. Like, so if your hands are tied or you're having trouble with something, come to me and tell me that. Let's see if we can work it out together.
Right.
That's excellent. This person made your point from earlier. Don't settle for the way things used to be done.
Yeah.
A lot has changed significantly for the better for type 1 diabetes, for kids, for health and safety. Embrace the new technology. Try to dive into it. This is exactly everything you said. If you've been at this for a long time, learn how to use an iPad. If you don't know how, figure out the apps that you can track the kids on. Help us to push our kids to take, you know, good control for themselves.
Right.
Sometimes an outside caregiver can really help the transition to more independence. See, that's a good point. Like, you have an opportunity there, right? Because the parents might be butting heads with the kid, but all of a sudden, you know, what's that analogy? Right. I always say, like, you know, if your kids play baseball and you're the coach and your kid's the pitcher, you never go out and talk to your own kid.
No.
You send a different coach out. It's not going to go well. So work with the parents, not against them. Be an ally. Stand up for my kids. This was interesting.
Oh, that's a great one.
If the district is making some ridiculous policy or school administrators aren't allowing you to do something, like, for instance, a remote monitor with a CGM, you could use your voice to stand up. You could say, hey, I know this is the rule, but these people are right. This would be great if we did this, you know?
And bring in safety whenever you're, right? Very likely what the parents are bringing up and that you know yourself, it's a safety consideration. And if you can prove that what they're asking for actually increases the safety and decreases the risk to the school, that's a hit point.
One of the best moments for Arden in going through school is regarding her diabetes care. It's also one of the saddest moments I've experienced. So I came up with something that I think it's episode 4 of the podcast. I think that episode's called Texting Diabetes. And there was this day where I was in the house and Arden was upstairs and I could see on her CGM, she needed a little more insulin. And I was about to get up and walk upstairs and tell her, and I just didn't feel like getting up. I was lazy and I was like, I don't want to do this. So I picked up my phone and I was like, hey, I need you to bolus a half a unit. And a minute or two later, she goes, okay. And then I was like, oh my God.
That was easy.
And that was so easy. And I was like,
wait, I never have to move again.
And my brain started racing. I was like, it worked from here to upstairs. It would work from here to down the street at her friend's house. School's not that much farther. It would work from here. Oh, wait a minute. And then I froze because I had trouble doing it at first. But I had trouble doing it because it turns out when she was in the house and I felt like, oh, if something went wrong, I was there to help.
Right.
Yeah. When she's not with me, I didn't have that same comfort. But then suddenly I was like, well, at school, I mean, the nurse is there. They have glucagon. They know what to do. I've explained it 1,000 times. Like, if Arden was to have a seizure at school, like, I don't want that, but I bet she'd be okay.
Right.
And then I stretched my legs. I was like, all right, well, now we're going to start doing it at school. Arden's blood sugars were never so good as when she and I in concert were just managing through texting. It's the unsung hero of diabetes, texting, seriously.
And you may have also had leeway then in terms of what she could have on her person. I know some schools are really strict. And even if doctor writes that it's okay or whatever, their protocol is that things like, especially the older school blood glucose meters or like the PDM for the controller, what's now the controller for Omnipod, had to stay in the nurse's office. It couldn't even stay with the child, right? And so in that case, texting diabetes is a great idea, but you're not going to get anywhere because the child no longer holds their product to use.
Well, what did I have to do? I had to get her phone set up as a medical device in her 504 plan. That was the first thing I had to accomplish. Then I had to get them to put her phone on the teacher's Wi-Fi.
Oh.
So that we had, you know, a stable communication. And that came with, we had to go to a meeting where they got to look at Arden and tell her, like, you're not allowed to use your phone during school. Like nowadays, I don't think it matters. I honestly think right. that things have changed so much since then. That's probably laughable to kids. But she took it very seriously. Like, I told her, I was like, look, this is a thing they're letting us do. It's making your day much easier. Like, you know, it's nice to say to kids, like, your health is better, but kids don't think about that day to day. I'm like, look, your life is easier. You're not going to the nurse. You know, right. if you need a little bit of insulin, you and I are talking. It takes a split second instead of you having to go through this whole rigmarole. Like, just be cool and don't use your phone at school.
Right.
One day she came home so serious, like she was so earnest. She goes, we got out of class early today. I was like, right. She goes, I opened Instagram. Do you think I'm going to get in trouble? I was like, oh, honey, I don't think anybody's going to know. It's okay.
Especially since it was like after getting out of.
Right? She was done. I mean, it was just the day was over. But she was like, I did open it while I was on the Wi-Fi. And I was like, what an opportunity. I wish a teacher could have seen how much it meant to her to have that access.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, those are the things we had to do because the regular school Wi-Fi sucks. Most of your buildings are built out of bricks and blocks and you're not going to get good right. signals in some places. And that's going to panic the hell out of you. You know, when you can see the blood sugar, see it, and all of a sudden it's just gone. So school, yep. you know, teacher's Wi-Fi, in the end, they were very cool about it. I had a really wonderful experience throughout Arden's school. But I want to say this too. I recognized early on when I came in that day, you know, that before kindergarten started, that to those people, I looked out of my mind. Like, do you know what I mean?
I'm sure that you did.
Yeah. I know I wasn't. I know that pre-planning was the right thing to do. But to them, it wasn't something they were used to. I looked like a crackpot. And so I spent a lot of time not looking crazy. And I found the best way to do that is you don't over-explain. Because diabetes has so many variables and steps and intricacies and nooks and crannies that when you just start talking about it, you sound nuts. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, because if the insulin goes in too soon and then she gets active, that activity is going to bring her insulin down. Then she might have a seizure. She has a seizure. Like, you sound crazy to other people. You're not, by the way.
You're not. It's like a flow of everything that you honestly know, right? But it's in terms of what needs to be applied in the school setting. Mm-hmm. That's all they need to know.
Yeah. I'll also tell you this, emails that you send to nurses or people in the office that go over about 3 or 4 sentences make you look crazy. Gets into manifesto types. You know, right. like, you know, yes. like also seeing it as a marathon, not a sprint, because it sounds, you know, it sounds douchey. But like it is like, right. Like you're not trying to get all the information to them today. Like, right. you know, it's a slow process. You're giving it out a little bit by a little bit. You're building a relationship. You don't and they're people too. They're just at work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't beat the hell out of them. They're not.
Correct.
They're not, you know, they're just at work. Like, you know, you go to work too. You don't want people lumping extra stuff for you to do on all day. So pick and choose and try to, you know, try to not ask for more than is really necessary.
Right. I mean,
you know. So all you're looking for is for your kid's blood sugar to be stable and to be able to like react to emergencies.
And to allow them to also stay in class as much as feasibly possible, right? Yep. I mean, that's again what they're there for. Mm-hmm. So
this person said, you know, please be compassionate, show patience. Over and over again, I want to point out how thankful people were in the feedback for their nurses and all the things they do. This one person says, I think the Joslin Diabetes Center in Boston has school nurse training sessions maybe twice a year.
Oh.
You know, that maybe your local hospital has something like that. Yeah. Do you have anything to add that you think we might have missed?
No, but that's interesting. Along the same lines, if you are a school nurse and in your area there is a pediatric endocrine practice or several of them, it may behoove you to actually call and see if any of them have class type of education for people with type 1 and that you could very well get some good information by just attending even one of those classes.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's free information. And while it is your time.
Yeah. Also, joining the Facebook group for the podcast, even if you just lurk in there for a couple of weeks, your understanding will lift way up. I don't want to end on a sour note, but I do want to bring this up. There is a line too. Like, you have to know your place a little bit.
Yes.
So I honestly don't remember what it was, but in high school, Arden's school nurse had a question about her care plan that she didn't understand. And instead of asking me or Arden, she called our doctor's office.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. And then I yelled at her a lot on the phone. So that's not any of your business. Like, that is not uncommon, by the way. I see a lot.
No, it's not.
Yeah. That happens a lot. Like, I don't know what you think you're doing calling somebody's doctor, but don't do that. No. Yeah. And I want to say, too, this episode comes very much from the perspective of people who are trying really hard, who are very involved, and that you may be also involved as a school nurse with people who don't understand a damn thing about diabetes and aren't putting any effort into it. But you got to not be jaded when you get to the next person who is trying. Like those are two different situations. I don't know how to tell you to help those people. I really don't. But, you know.
Right.
Anyway.
Outside of giving them information about where they can get better information.
Go check this out. Have you heard, you know, like, there's probably nice little ways to drop that in there. But saying things like, your numbers are crazy and you're going to, like, that's doesn't work. It doesn't work for doctors. It's not going to work for your school nurse. And anyway, I appreciate all the great school nurses that my daughter's had over the years. They were all fantastic in one way or another. I would say that any stumbling blocks we came upon, I stayed calm. They stayed calm. We got past them. You know, the worst thing you can do, in my opinion, as a parent, is be the person who, when you walk into the building or when the phone rings, they think, oh, it's this one. Like, you don't, you don't want, oh, here comes Jenny. Gird your loins. Yeah. Like, you don't want to be that person. Like, it's, it's
definitely not.
You're not going to have a good ending. Anyway.
And I think, too, as kind of a last point, it's also, you know, your child has one thing or maybe a couple of different health things to navigate. And in those, I guess, instances, you expect the school nurse to become really knowledgeable about that issue. And you have to think that the school nurse isn't just there to navigate kids who have type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. They're there to navigate a whole host, you know, allergy medications, dosing of specific things for irritations and allergies. And
there's a lot going through their heads. Yeah,
there is. Yeah. And so you have to understand that while your child's needs are absolutely important, there are other kids who have needs that are just as important too. And so expecting to establish some type of schedule that obviously works based on what's happening for the school nurse.
Yeah. No, it's there's a lot to consider. There's a lot of human beings involved, a lot of pressure, and you know, I think there's some grace has to come from all sides, to be perfectly honest. Yes. You know, and in the end, you're trying to help the kid be healthier, happier, become educated, and not leave with some sort of a feeling that they're, you know, broken or a problem or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So anyway, I appreciate what everybody does, of course. I appreciate you, Jenny. Yes. So I'll talk to you soon. A huge thank you to one of today's sponsors, Gvoke Glucagon. Find out more about Gvoke HypoPen at gvokeglucagon.com/juicebox. You spell that GVOKEGLUCAGON.com/juicebox. I want to thank the Eversense CGM for sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast, and invite you to go to eversensecgm.com/juicebox to learn more about this terrific device. You can head over now and just absorb everything that the website has to offer, and that way you'll know if Eversense feels right for you. eversensecgm.com/juicebox. I'd like to thank Cozy Earth for sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast and remind you that using my offer code JUICEBOX at checkout will save you 40% off of your entire order at CozyEarth.com. That's the sheets, the towels, the clothing, anything available on the website. If you or a loved one was just diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and you're looking for some fresh perspective, the Bold Beginnings series from the Juice Box Podcast is a terrific place to start. That series is with myself and Jenny Smith. Jenny is a CDCES, a registered dietitian, and a type 1 for over 35 years. And in the Bold Beginnings series, Jenny and I are going to answer the questions that most people have after a type 1 diabetes diagnosis. The series begins at episode 698. in your podcast player, or you can go to juiceboxpodcast.com and click on Bold Beginnings in the menu. I know that Facebook has a bad reputation, but please give the private Facebook group for the Juicebox Podcast a healthy once-over. Juicebox Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes. The group now has 47,000 members in it. It gets 150 new members a day. It is completely free, and at the very least, you can watch other people talk about diabetes. And everybody is welcome. Type 1, Type 2, gestational, loved ones, everyone is welcome. Go up into the featured tab of the private Facebook group, and there you'll see lists upon lists of all of the management series that are available to you for free in the Juicebox Podcast. Becoming a member of that group, I really think it will help you. It will at least give you community. You'll be able to kind of lurk around, see what people are talking about, pick up some tips and tricks. Maybe you can ask a question or offer some help. Juicebox Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Juicebox Podcast. The episode you just heard was professionally edited by Wrong Way Recording. WrongWayRecording.com.